What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
And a very good morning and welcome to the studio. Our regular guest, Natalie Nichols, Children's Learning Specialist from Plex Learning.
Yes.
Did I get
that
right?
Oh, you've got it. Oh, there's lots of learning in there, isn't there?
And I wasn't even reading off a sheet.
Well done, Mike.
That was by memory. Good to have you in. We had a great chat last time.
We did, yes.
We're kind of going to continue on from where we left off a couple of weeks ago, aren't we?
Yeah, that'd be great.
And what are we going to be chatting about today?
So last couple of weeks ago, some people may remember, we talked about reinforcement and the different types of reinforcement, particularly when we're supporting our kids with their learning at home. And our common default is to go with that negative. And that's only because our brains are just naturally wired to go that way.
Yeah.
But looking at how beneficial our positive reinforcement can be, high fives and specific positive praise and encouragement. So today I wanted to bring a little bit onto that about, well, why then do we think some kids may find some things challenging? And I wanted to have a look at whether or not your kid may be overlooked at home or school.
Okay.
So overlooked in regards to challenges with learning.
Love it. Is your child overlooked, do you think? Give us a call. 9313 0985. Topic, is your child being overlooked? I reckon a lot of people could relate to this.
Yeah, it's a definite, and the reason I wanted to have a chat with it today is because it's something very common that I hear in schools and also with parents. It's one of the most common things, actually, that I hear.
Perception?
Yeah, perhaps. A lot on perception. So I always come down to kind of three things, right?
Okay.
I've got my ABC here, Mike.
You are so organized.
What do you think about ABC? All right.
I love it. Keeping it simple.
Okay. There's no right or wrong. It's just a choice of these options, all right?
Okay.
So when a child finds something's hard, so you might even think about your own child or someone that you're working with. You know, when a kid's finding something hard, no matter what age, is it because A, they don't want to do it? Is it because they're just not motivated? There's no interest in there. There's no drive.
Yep.
All right. Can't be bothered. It's just pretty crappy.
Hard.
You know.
Yeah, let's move on.
B. Is it that they can't do it? They don't know actually how to, but are not telling you. Right.
Yeah.
So there's that lack of self belief in their own ability to do it.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
And option C.
Option C, is there an underlying difficulty that could be the reason they can't do it or could also lead to that lack of motivation and drive?
Interesting. So you are saying you would generally fit into one of those three categories.
I would say when we're finding something hard, the kids that I usually see are, you know, I always think there's something behind behavior. There is always something behind. If a kid is behaving the way they are, there is always something behind why they're not learning.
This could apply for adults as well.
Yes, definitely.
When you think about
learning. That's right. So there's always something behind that. So if we think about it, you know, A, is it we don't want to do it? Is it, look, some things can be boring, right? Some things can be lack of interest.
Absolutely.
And especially if kids are used to being, they've got lots of other things that are really interesting all the time outside of school, and they're presented with something that may not be at the same level of interest. You know, that can obviously be something, definitely, of course. But I really wanted parents to have a think, you know, are they being overlooked because there could be an underlying difficulty? Could it just be lack of self-belief in their own ability? You know, generally speaking, kids want to do well.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
we
as human beings, kids want to please adults.
And their teachers.
They want to please their teachers. They want to please parents. You know, they want to do their best. It's just human nature. But when we feel that we can't do it, and when we feel that we have, you know, that low self-esteem, that low self-worth, what's the point? This is when all these other things start to come out.
We'll take a break. Love to hear from you today. Maybe your kids are not studying or not doing their homework because they don't want to. Natalie Nichols is with me, Children Learning Specialist. And good morning, Jen. You've got a comment or a question this morning for Natalie.
So my child's still quite, my oldest is still quite young, so she's in year one at the moment. But she's just really struggling at the moment with feeling a little bit, I think, well, overlooked really is probably the best word for it, in that where she's feeling a little bit like, oh, you know, when I do my reading and when I finish my homework, there's no big deal or anything like that made, or but she, I think she's feeling a little bit like, you know, the other kids, it's always like, oh, well, when such and such finishes their reading challenge, it's a, there's a big deal there, and I, it's not just school, but it's sort of filtering into other areas as well. So I feel like she really struggles with things probably a little bit more than most kids in terms of concentration and things like that. But yeah, I guess she's just feeling a little bit like having a little bit low self-esteem, even though we're always sort of trying to encourage her.
What are your thoughts? In year one, Jen, yeah. as well?
Yeah, in year one, which is quite sad because, you know, I'm actually a teacher myself, so I say to her, you know, oh, what does your teacher say? And you know, and if you're feeling like, hey, you know, you want some encouragement or anything, you know, you can talk to her. And so it's not necessarily just a school thing, but I just think she's just feeling a little bit deflated in all areas, like even her extracurricular activities, you know, sports and dancing and things like that. So, yeah, I'm wondering, you know, what advice you've got.
Great call, Jen. Thank you for calling in this morning. What are you, is that the classic case of exactly what we're talking about today?
Yeah, so this is interesting. So I suppose we've got two things here, whether or not it's specifically just certain areas that your child's finding challenging or whether it's in an overall, almost everything. So it sounds like from what Jen was saying that, you know, it's a bit more in an overall. First of all, I wanted to say that, and I'm sure Jen will understand this, year one is huge. Pre-primary and year one, when you look at the curriculum, oh, I almost have a heart attack myself, right? There is a lot of pressure on kids, and I'm sure all the teachers in those areas will be able to agree with me there, just being able to get kids up to that level. Now, if you then place a child who's already finding writing and reading and maths and understanding those concepts, and if they've got any gaps from kindy or pre-primary that haven't been filled in or haven't been found, they're going to find that even more challenging. And this is where their self-esteem can start to go down and them feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm putting in this extra effort, which sounds like Jen's child. She's doing her best, which is amazing. But what is she actually getting out of it? Is she able to still get where she needs to? So one of the very first things is if it's just in regards to school and that, have a look. Is there any of those little gaps in there? Have a look. Is there anything that maybe she might have missed out on to be able to fill in, to be able to support her, to feel more confident, to be able to get to that next step. If we're looking at more overview of everything, commonly some kids can feel quite overwhelmed. Big year one is a big year. You know, kids are still little, right? And they're going every single day. Sometimes we've also got after school things going on, and which is great too, because we want to have an opportunity for them to do everything else besides just go to school, right? But I always say to parents, have a think about what else could be going on. Check their sleep. Check her nutrition levels. Have a look at any deficiencies. Some kids quite commonly are low in iron, which actually leads to tiredness, which also leads to lack of motivation, you know, things like that. Have a look at how much exercise she's able to get in the morning. I always say, you know, a little bit of cardio in the morning can really wake us up to feel a bit more energized. And making sure, last thing, that kids are doing something they love. Have opportunities during the week for them to love something. You know, is it that they love Lego? Is it they love Play-Doh? Is it that they love building something? Giving them that opportunity to find the thing that they love to make them feel really good about themselves.
Jen, great call. All the best. Hope that goes well. And thanks for coming
so
on
much.
And having a chat with us today. 98.5 Weekdays with Mike. Natalie Nichols is with me. Good call by Jen there with a child in year one being overlooked. Interesting. Yep. A lot going on in the curriculum for year ones. Now, Natalie, you've got to share a story about an eight-year-old boy named David.
I do. I have a story. I like sharing stories.
It's story time, everyone.
It's story time. Let's get a little cushion and snuggle up. Okay, so my little story is about a little boy.
I was looking for some background music to play.
Where's your music? Okay. This is a story about an 8-year-old boy named David. So this is actually based on a true story. I've just changed the name, obviously. And he was in year three. His parents were told by the teacher that he had a habit of looking out the window, not paying attention.
Common.
He looked like he was daydreaming a lot. And in this case, David had a very compassionate teacher. So we can have two different types, obviously. But in this case, we had a very compassionate teacher who was actually genuinely concerned. She knew that he was a really good kid and he would try if he could. He was a quiet kid, tried hard, had good manners. He was super respectful, a little bit shy. But then by year three, this is really where a lot of challenges start to show.
Okay.
So in David's case, his challenges were with writing and spelling. Now, David was super creative, loved anything creative, Lego, and he would really think outside the box. So ideas that other people would never think of, he could just come up with. And it's amazing how there is a fantastic group of kids who can do that. And I'm sure there are parents out there who can relate to this too. But one of his big challenges was, even though he had these great ideas, he really struggled to get his writing down on paper. Okay. So he would end up sitting there thinking about what to write, looking out the window, and the time would pass so quickly that he would only get a few lines down by the time the teacher had said, everybody told to put your pen down. It's about 30 minutes.
Yep.
Okay. Now, by this age, the curriculum by year three is kind of expecting at least a few pages of writing here.
Okay.
So, you know, he's only being able to put a few lines. He knows immediately, oh my gosh, that time just went so quickly. I could not get anything down. So why couldn't he just put those amazing stories and that creative mind of his onto paper? All right.
Good question.
So his parents started then feeling angry. All right. Now, you must listen to your teacher. Stop looking out the window. Pay attention. Deep down, David didn't know why he couldn't just write like the other kids. He started to feel angry at himself. He started putting pressure on himself to try to do what he asked. But then this led to anxiety, low self-confidence, low self-belief, and he started to believe then that he actually couldn't do it. So he didn't end up trying anymore because what was the point? He may fail anyway. This story about David is more common than you think. And in fact, this is a lot of the kids that I see. But fast forward David's story. So I followed David through, this is through a person that I know. Because we obviously didn't end up seeing him. But he is now 19. And by this point, he did end up continuing year by year at school with no support, labelled as the kid who just didn't try, anxious, withdrew, occasional behavioural issues. Got to his year 12 exams, decided no point studying. Obviously didn't do well, but he was used to that by now. Now, some kids can cope through school with these challenges and will try every way possible to get through, but many will lose their self-belief, stop trying at everything, and this is then linked to depression, low job prospects, etc. Now, I don't want this story to be a sad story. I want this story to be an example of having a think, where is your child at? What are they at now? Because this can determine their future pathway. David was actually average to above average intelligence, which is very common with kids who are struggling with learning. It's nothing to do with intelligence.
Right.
He just lost his gift of creativity, as schools will rarely have time to foster these days, and he found writing extremely difficult. But what could have been done?
We'll come back and continue this story back after this. Natalie Nichols is with me. We're towards the end of this story about David. I'm sure a lot of people listening today can either personally relate to David or have got a child just like David. Just push that mic up a bit now. There we go.
There. You hear me? All good.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So what could have been done with young David?
Well, I mean, there's lots of things to have a think about with young David, but this is quite common that kids are required to sit in a classroom for a lengthy period of time because, you know, curriculum needs to be fed, right?
Yeah.
You know, and commonly, you know, kids can get a bit distracted or
bored
or anything like that, right? So, you know, what can be done? And again, we've looked at there's always a reason behind behaviour challenges with behaviour, and there's always reasons behind challenges with learning. And so having a think about that, you know, kids who do struggle to sit down in class, there has been a lot of research and links with attention and lack of exercise.
Okay.
Yep. So this is great where if schools do have those runs around the laps in the morning or some sort of fitness first thing in the morning, that's really great. If a school don't have that, it's great to be able to do with your kids first thing in the morning. I know some parents who actually take their kids swimming first thing in the morning.
Brilliant.
Or, go for a run with them first thing in the morning as a regular jog, just to kind of really get that attention and focus going, because it does actually make a big difference.
So that's not part of the curriculum? Apart from
PE and sport. But if you think about it, that's not daily. And also PE and sport... A teaching of a specific thing. So you might not be doing cardio the whole time.
Of course.
How many times you might be waiting for your turn.
Yep.
You know, so
yeah, okay.
I would never rely on a school for PE and sport as my kids' amount of exercise.
Need more.
Yeah, yeah. And thinking about short spurts even each day, particularly in the morning, is really, really great opportunity.
Okay.
All right, so what can we do? All right, so remembering that poor behaviour in academics is always an underlying reason, and just having a think about what that could be, talking compassionately, understandingly, also remembering as a parent that we didn't fail.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the big things, is that sometimes we have this expectation on ourselves as parents, or an expectation of what our kid's supposed to be like. Mm. And when they didn't turn out that way, we're more angry at the situation.
So true.
Than the kid.
Yeah. Yes.
And remembering that, you know, you didn't do anything wrong.
Mm.
You know, it's just the journey that your child is on at the moment. And the most important thing is not looking back.
Yeah, that's good.
And look forward. What can we do now? There are things to do now. We know we can grow our brains.
Yes.
We know now that we can, that interventions do work, right? And think about what we can do. So finding out what's really going on was number one. Number two, sit down and speak with the teacher as well. Find out exactly what the teacher sees. Find out what you know, and then, and also information from the child, so that you can kind of start to piece things together and request an assessment through the school first. If that is not available within your time frame, then there are obviously private options. And number three is really important, is getting intervention. There are a lot of parents I know who get assessments and then we don't get to the intervention stage.
Right.
If you have a choice financially between assessment or intervention, get intervention.
Right.
Okay. So an assessment is not going to help your child. It will find out what's going on with your child.
That's all it is.
The intervention will actually support and help your child progress.
That's the action.
That's the action. And I hear many parents say, and this is a very common and understandable comment, I pay private school fees.
Yep.
The school should really be providing this. And yes, of course, they would if they had the knowledge, the time, and the resources to do so. Unfortunately, when schools are faced with having 24 to 20 to 30 plus kids in the class, even those small little maybe multi-lit mini groups are not going to be specifically catered one-on-one with your child, and specifically looking at the gaps in their learning. So having a think about what else could be available. So things like specialist teachers have a higher level of training in learning difficulties, and they're generally more qualified to be able to provide specific intervention.
Because that's their specialty.
That's their specialty. That's it.
Natalie, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap things up. You are on 98.5. Good morning. Do you know, I was just thinking, you know, back when I was going to school, primary school, I rode my bike every day.
Ooh, every that's day.
But,
great.
But you know what? Everyone did.
Yeah.
No one got dropped off in a car.
Yeah.
The school was full of bike racks.
Oh.
Everyone rode their bike or walked, rain,
well,
hail or
ticks,
shine.
That ticks the box straight away though, doesn't it?
Exactly.
You know, they're awake first thing in the morning, good breakfast and, you know.
Come on, ditch the cars and get the kids on the bikes, eh? What do you reckon?
I know. Well, I would do that too, Mark, but my kids have got highways they'd have to cross,
it's
right?
It's no excuse, Natalie.
No, I could not
solution.
Live with myself. I'd be worried all the time. Oh, they get to school, okay. But this is the thing though, we're not always, some people are down the road from schools, which is great.
Yeah.
But a majority of people are having to drive. Yeah, yeah.
I rode a fair way, I'm just saying. Mm. I reckon I would have rode maybe 12, 13 Ks to school.
How old were you? Were you in primary school?
Primary school, yeah.
Wow.
And then same in high school. Into a
very
different
good.
Yeah, Easy. Oh, right there. Maybe
your mother was less anxious than me.
Maybe she was. Look, we'll finish off today. Thanks, Ben, from Helena Valley has sent a message in. Now, Ben says, I've got a bit of a story. My dad was a primary school teacher, and one student in his class, let's call him Jack, who was always fidgety and energetic, never wanting to sit down or anything like that. The solution my dad found was to get Jack to take a note to the principal, but run a lap of the oval first, and the principal would send a return note getting Jack to run another lap of the oval on the way back. And that helped Jack to focus.
That's amazing.
Ben from Helena Valley, that is a great, great message. How simple is that? Just go for a run.
That's it. But it's that communication then, wasn't it, with the teachers knowing this is a little note. It does work really well though, right? Yeah. So if you've got some school and look, parents can have a chat with their teachers about this too, right? If they know that their kid might be struggling with a bit of focusing, just things like there might be some little activities they could go do. This is an option. Can we sort something out between notes, between this teacher? It might even be another teacher, you know, take this note to this teacher.
Brilliant.
What's this I need to do next, you know? So those little things can really help just being able to focus. But that goes back to what I was saying about, you know, exercise. Yeah. And
nutrition you mentioned
as well. Exercise, nutrition, move, sleep is the other big thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, getting a really good rest because kids actually can go into a bit more hyperdrive, overdrive mode when they're overtired, interestingly.
Well, the whole phone thing, that's a whole nother discussion with devices.
Yes. Yep.
I might play a song, go for a run. Thanks for coming in, Natalie.
Thanks for having
we'll
me,
catch
Mike.
You. We'll continue on. We'll kind of continue on in a couple of weeks, won't we?
Yeah, sounds good.
You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. My guest in the studio this morning has been Natalie Nichols, learning children's learning specialist from Plex Learning. All the details for Natalie, she's got a Facebook page. Head to our website, 98five.com.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website, 98five.com.